From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Minister says a clinical trial of Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine ran smoothly. Australia pledges $566 million in the push for digital business compliance. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government confirmed on Monday that no volunteers of Phase 3 of clinical trials of the Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine in Bandung, West Java, had reportedly suffered grave symptoms after receiving the vaccine injections. As reported by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, after partaking in a virtual meeting with President Joko Widodo on Monday, stated that the clinical trials have so far run smoothly and the government did not receive any report on those experiencing serious effects. Retno Marsudi noted that the Sinovac biotech delegates had observed the clinical trial process and the production site of this candidate vaccine at State Pharmaceutical Holding Company, PT Bio Farma. Delegates of this Chinese pharmaceutical company has visited Bandung to witness up close the production site of this candidate vaccine and the clinical trial process on September 20 to 24, and by Bio Farma had readied two buildings for production sites. Indonesian State Enterprises Minister BUMN Erick Thohir has asked state-owned railway company PT KAI to continuously make improvements amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Minister Erick Thohir, during the virtual commemoration of KAI's 75th anniversary on Monday, stated that after years of being a means of mass transportation that carries large numbers of passengers, during this pandemic, the government has to take a break, reduce passengers, but it still has to continue to improve. He remarked PT KAI has been for 75 years connecting the Indonesian people to their hopes and dreams, narrowing the distance for all levels of society, reconnecting friendships, facilitating activities, and uniting relatives. The minister asked KAI to continue to strengthen the culture of mutual cooperation so that it is in a better position to face the changing times. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said the government is going ahead with a plan to implement the so-called National Logistic Ecosystem, NLE, platforms, expected to cut red tape, reduce high logistic costs, and boost the country's competitiveness. The platform is expected to reduce logistic costs from the current 23.5% of the country's gross domestic products, the highest among Southeast Asian nations according to the World Bank, to just 17% of GDP. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Minister Sri Mulyani explained the government is hoping that this initiative will make businesses more resilient as it knows that the national logistics system plays a huge role in determining the competitiveness of Indonesia's economy. The government aims at reducing logistic costs by 6% of GDP, which will be very significant going forward. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Australia said it will spend $800 million, or $566 million, on measures to help businesses take their administration and regulatory compliance online, citing higher demand due to changes brought by the COVID-19 pandemic. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, the federal government said it would spend a $420 million coordinating Australia's more than 30 company registers and put them online, allowing businesses to quickly view, update, and maintain their business registry data in one location. It will also spend $257 million to expand a digital identity system for people interacting with the main government internet portal, including a permanent director identification number to help prevent Phoenix activity, where people avoid liability by shutting down one failed company and setting up a new one to carry out the same business. The government said it will allocate the funding when it delivers its annual budget on October 6. It usually unveils the budget in May but delayed it due to difficulty giving economic forecasts in the early stages of the coronavirus outbreak. The World Health Organization, WHO, has said a test that can diagnose COVID-19 in minutes will dramatically expand the capacity to detect cases in low- and middle-income countries. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, the $5 or the 3.80 pound sterling test could transform tracking of COVID-19 in less wealthy countries, which have shortage of healthcare workers and laboratories. A deal with manufacturers will provide 120 million tests over 6 months. The WHO had called it a major milestone. Lengthy gaps between taking a test and receiving a result have hampered many countries' attempts to control the spread of coronavirus. In some countries with high infection rates, including India and Mexico, experts have said that low testing rates are disguising the true spread of their outbreaks. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told a news conference on Monday that the new highly portable and easy-to-use tests will provide results in 15 to 30 minutes instead of hours or days. The Argentinian Economy Ministry said in a statement on Monday, closing off an unresolved issue from its recent major debt revamp, Argentina will make an interest payment due on dollar and euro-denominated par bonds on Wednesday this week. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, the government had failed to restructure a small number of bonds, including the pars, as part of an otherwise successful $65 billion foreign debt restructuring, which saw 99% of eligible debt exchange at the end of last month. The government has been considering trying to win over the remaining 1% of mostly European retail investors, offering them the same terms as those who had agreed to the initial deal. The new bonds in the exchange had been issued on September 4th. The economy ministry said that it had decided that the costs of making a second offer were not justified, especially given the uncertainty of a favorable outcome. About 40 universities around the UK have had reports of coronavirus cases, and thousands of students are self-isolating as the new terms begin. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, the University of Aberystwyth is the latest to suspend face-to-face teaching because of COVID-19, but the Prime Minister's spokesman Nicola Sturgeon said students would be able to go home for the Christmas break. In Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon said ensuring students could go home at Christmas would be a priority. On whether students in England should receive a fees refund, the Prime Minister's spokesman said universities were autonomous and would make their own decisions. But the Office for Students, the watchdog for higher education in England, indicated that universities would have to seriously consider requests for a partial refund and must not adopt a blanket policy that refunds are not available. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Campaign of Regional Head Elections with Strict Health Protocols. Although the pros and cons continue to emerge, the 2020 regional head elections, Pilkada, are still being held simultaneously. Meanwhile, the number of patients exposed to COVID-19 increases, and the distribution is getting wider. In fact, recently, some candidates of the Pilkada and the organizers of the Election Supervisory Agency, Bawaslu, and the General Election Commission, KPU, have been involved. It was decided that the stages of the Pilkada are carried out simultaneously with strict health protocols. However, after only two-day campaign, Bawaslu noted that there were 18 violations of the coronavirus prevention protocols or COVID-19 on September 26 and 27, 2020. On the first day of the campaign, 8 violations occurred in 8 districts. Most of the findings were campaigns involving the masses of more than 50 people or ignoring their distance. On the second day, violation occurred in 9 regions. Bawaslu responded with a written warning. In addition to violating health protocols, Bawaslu found campaigns without notification received or STTP in 29 districts or cities. Bawaslu also found thousands of campaign tools or attributes that did not comply with the existing rules. The campaign period for the simultaneous Pilkada 2020 has been taking place since Saturday. Hundreds of candidates' pairs for regional heads in 270 regions have been allowed to campaign for 71 days. Meanwhile, the voting day will be held on Wednesday, December 9, 2020. Head of Bawaslu, Abhan, told the media on Monday that the implementation of the Pilkada 2020 amid the COVID-19 pandemic is not easy because political activities must be aligned with the COVID-19 health protocols. Bawaslu must oversee the stages of the Pilkada and must also implement health protocols. At least, Bawaslu must show a good example for properly implement the COVID-19 health protocols. The burden on Bawaslu officials and employees is getting heavier. Vulnerability always overshadows both the national and regional election. Money politics, racial sentiment, the non-neutrality of the state civil apparatus ASN, and the security disturbances are forms of vulnerability that have always been the concern of the Bawaslu. Now, there is a new vulnerability, namely the COVID-19 pandemic, which also has the potential to disrupt the democratic process, especially during the campaign period. Bearing this very heavy burden, Bawaslu should receive support from various related stakeholders. This burden must be shared proportionally by all 2020 Pilkada stakeholders such as Bawaslu, KPU, government, police, TNI, the COVID-19 task force, and related agencies. But above all, civil society participation plays the biggest role in monitoring the entire process of the Pilkada stages. The adherence of the entire community to health protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19 pandemic also determines the success of the 2020 simultaneous regional elections. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. Let's begin on September 29, 1955, where Indonesia's first legislative elections held. The 1955 Indonesian general election was the first general election in Indonesia and was held on September 29, 1955. It is often said to be Indonesia's most democratic election. At that time, members of the armed forces and the police also voted. Those who serve in vulnerable areas took turns coming to the polling stations. Election was safe. This election aims to elect the members of the House of Representatives and the Constituent Assembly. The number of seats contested in the House was 260, while the Constituent seat 520, twice the House seats, plus 14 representatives from minority groups appointed by the government. Let's move on to September 29, 2001, where Nguyen Van Thieu, president of South Vietnam, passed away. Nguyen Van Thieu is the former second president of South Vietnam, who served from 1967 to 1975. He was also a general in the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, ARVN, which later became a member of the military junta in 1964, and next became president of South Vietnam after winning election in 1967. He became the ruler of South Vietnam until finally resigning in 1975 when the fall of the city of Saigon, or what is now called Ho Chi Minh City, and the victory for North Vietnam. Nguyen Van Thieu died in 2001, aged 78, in the United States after passing out at home due to a stroke. He was cremated and buried in Boston. I'll conclude today's in history on September 29, where Indonesia's Undergraduate Day of National Bachelor's Degrees Day. The National Undergraduate Day is commemorated every 29 of September, aims to appreciate scholars who have succeeded in reaching the intellectual level. It is not known the history why September 29 is celebrated as National Bachelor's Day. Although not as popular as Mother's Day or Earth Day, National Undergraduate Day is recorded as a day that is celebrated every year. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Yang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila. Tujuan utama penuh pengabdian pada sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Revolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Indonesia.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling to improve economic relation between Indonesia and Slovakia, Indonesia launches virtual Indonesian House website. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Indonesia's diplomacy with foreign countries continues, as is done by Indonesia and Slovakia. Economic relations between the two countries are still moving forward, even though Slovakia is currently in the second phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thereby, the Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava and the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, supported by the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce (Kadin), held a business meeting and launch of the virtual Indonesian House Slovakia with the theme "Embrace Potential Economic Cooperation Indonesia-Slovakia" in Jakarta and Bratislava, Slovakia. As quoted from kemlu.go.id page, Indonesian Ambassador to Slovakia, Adiat Widi Adiwoso Asmadi, said that in the world situation that is being hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, the use of digital-based platforms is a must. This is a consideration for the Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava to bridge business circles of both countries so that they can communicate with each other and get reliable sources of information. The site is a platform that provides information on trade, investment, tourism, and culture to various stakeholders in Slovakia. According to Ambassador Adiat Widi, the site has been recognized by stakeholders in Slovakia, such as the Slovak Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Slovak Chambers of Commerce, and the Slovak Chambers of Investment and Trade Development. So in the future, credible Slovak companies can also be registered on the site to become a reference for Indonesian business people. Ambassador Adiat Widi also showed the Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava, Naderna, Indonesia, Magnificent Indonesia magazine as a form of communication regarding the latest Indonesian updates to the public in Slovakia. Director General for America and Europe of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Nguras Wajaya, as the main speaker, said that in the context of diplomatic relation, both countries have collaborated in various sectors such as agriculture, energy and strategic industries. There are still a lot of potentials in the economic field that can be developed. The availability of the virtual Indonesian House platform is expected to enhance mutual beneficial trade and investment relations in this new era. In addition, Ambassador Swajaya expressed his appreciation to the Indonesian ambassador and the team, which in this difficult time had made innovation as a door to promote Indonesian commodities in Slovakia and surrounding countries. In turn, this strengthens the trade relations between the two countries. He also emphasized that in a new era, Indonesia is conducting vaccine diplomacy to ensure the availability of medical and health equipment so that cooperation with various countries is needed. Ambassador Swajaya also encouraged the business circles of the two countries to improve mutual contact through the facilitations prepared by the Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava. Appreciation was also conveyed by Director General for Economic Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Slovak European Affairs, Ambassador Dusan Matulai, for the initiative to launch the virtual Indonesian House. He said that Indonesia has been recognized by the Slovak public both in terms of superior commodities and as a tourism destination. Ambassador Dusan also hopes that there will be opportunities for cooperation between the two countries in the field of climate change, information and communication technology, and renewable energy. In addition, Ambassador Dusan welcomed the cooperation in the health sector that could be explored by the two countries. Chairman of the Central European Committee of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry of the Republic of Indonesia, Sulaiman Saleh, expressed the support of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry for improving economic cooperation between the two countries. The same point was also expressed by Director of the Regional Chambers of Commerce in Bratislava, Curaj Majdan. The Indonesian House website is believed to be a useful platform for cooperative relation in the economic sector of the two countries. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
Karena di dalam hidup ini
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Jangan Uya Asam cuisine of Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi is now one of the favorite tourist destinations in Indonesia because this region still offers complete tour packages from natural, cultural, and culinary tours. Having a culinary tour in the city, nickname of Sunrise of Java, your culinary tourism desire will be satisfied. There are a variety of delicious dishes that you must taste, such as Jangan Uya Asam. The cuisine is an ancient food of Banyuwangi community that is still preserved. This food is usually served during the traditional ceremonies of the Osing tribe, the indigenous tribe of Banyuwangi. Jangan means vegetables. This food is like soup, but the sauce is spicy and sour. It is contained in large pieces of kampung chicken which has delicious taste. The basic ingredient is kampung chicken and young papaya. Kampung chicken is chosen because it has a denser texture than other kind of chicken. Besides that, it tastes more savory. To cook Jangan Uya Asam, it is usually used red chilies, cayenne pepper, tomatoes, sugar and salt, and all the spices are mashed. If you want to give it more sour taste, you can add it with slices of belimbing wudu or averoa bilimbi. You can also add wadung leaves which has a sour taste. The way to cook this food, boil the chicken until soft, then add the raw papaya slices and spices that have been mashed. If it is cooked, then Jangan Uya Asam is ready to be served. This cuisine is very suitable to be enjoyed with a plate of hot rice, chili sauce, and crackers. Like other typical foods, it is not easy to find seller of Jangan Uya Asam in Banyuwangi. One of the food stalls that sells this culinary is on Jalan Raya Glagah, Jambean Hamlet, Glagah Sub-District. If you order a portion of Jangan Uya Asam, you will get a bowl of Jangan Uya Asam, a spicy raw chili sauce, and also some fried tempeh. You can taste Jangan Uya Asam with affordable price, which is 10,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hello, listener of Radio Republik Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Dunia belum berakhir bila kau putuskan aku. Masih banyak teman-temanku di sini menemaniku. Dunia belum berakhir. Bila kau putuskan
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Ke Kamar Kecil, or in English, to the restroom. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Ke Kamar Kecil. Ke Kamar Kecil, or to the restroom.
Permisi, Pak.
Iya, Kevin.
Maaf, saya mau izin ke kamar kecil.
Oh, silakan.
Terima kasih, Pak.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, ke kamar kecil. Ke kamar kecil, which means to the restroom. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Permisi, Pak. Permisi, Pak, which means excuse me, sir. Maaf. Maaf, which means sorry. Izin ke kamar kecil. Izin ke kamar kecil, which means permission to the restroom. Silahkan. Silahkan, which means by all means or of course. If you want to ask permission to leave the room, say maaf, maaf, or permisi, permisi, which means sorry or excuse me. Maaf, maaf, and permisi. Permisi, which means sorry and excuse me, are used to interrupt an activity, either to ask permission or to ask questions. Example 1. When someone is talking and you want to interrupt, you can say maaf. Maaf, which means sorry. 2. When you want to ask about something, you can say permisi or maaf, saya ingin bertanya. Maaf, saya ingin bertanya, which means excuse me or sorry, I want to ask or I have to or I have a questions. 3. When you want to ask for permission, you can say permisi or maaf, saya ingin minta izin. Maaf, saya ingin minta izin, which means excuse me or sorry, I want to ask permission, or may I be excused. If someone asks for your permission, you can say silahkan. Silahkan, which means by all means or of course. Example: maaf, saya minta izin keluar sebentar. Maaf, saya minta izin keluar sebentar, which means sorry, I'd like to ask permission to go out for a while. You can answer with silahkan. Silahkan, which means by all means or of course. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Permisi, Pak.
Iya, Kevin.
Maaf, saya mau izin ke kamar kecil.
Oh, silakan.
Terima kasih, Pak.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Sampai jumpa.
Segala perbedaan yang kini sedang kita hadapi, saling menyalahkan itu bukan jalan terbaik. Bukankah setiap masalah pasti bisa dibicarakan? Beda itu wajar, asal jangan saling menyakiti. Genggam tanganku, bawaku ke keadaan yang lebih indah. Ku ingin ada di sana, walau berbeda kita bersama. Merasakan damai, bukankah setiap masalah pasti bisa dibicarakan? Beda itu wajar, asal jangan saling menyakiti.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Harapan Hampau sung by Emma Syabi. The song Harapan Hampau, which was composed by Emma Syabi, tells about someone's lost hope because the lover left them. In accordance with its sad lyrics, the song has slow tempo music. Emma Syabi was one of Indonesian songwriters and Malay singers who were famous in the 1950s and 1960s. Along with Bawafi and Munif Bahaswan, Emma Syabi changed the style of Deli Malay Orchestra by replacing some instruments and structures of the lyric and song. If previously the Malay Deli song contained of poems, then in their era, the Malay music began with love theme. Its tempo also has faster rhythm. The changes pioneered the form of modern dangdut as it is known at present. Listener, here is the Malay song Harapan Hampau, sung by Emma Syabi. Enjoy the song.
Tidakkah kau tahu betapa hatiku oh rindu? Tidakkah kau ngerti betapa cintaku oh suci? Jangan kau bimbang, janganlah ragu, ku tetap kasih padamu. Betapa rinduku dendamkan, harapanku kini hilang lenyap sudah, bagai mimpi tiada berarti. Janganlah cintaku kau umpamakan bagai kembang, segar dipakai dipuja sayang, kalau telah layu dibuang. Tapi kini engkau tinggalkan diriku merana seorang. Tidakkah pernah kau rasakan betapa rinduku dendamkan, harapanku kini hilang lenyap sudah, bagai mimpi tiada berarti.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.